Hello. This is a podfic of a Tumblr post. It doesn't have a title, but I saw somebody call it Calamitous Beauty Weiwokshen. So I'm going to go with that. And this is a chatty cold read. So I will include my thoughts at the end for some reader's notes. And I'm going to do limited to no editing on this work. I would say I would rate it as safe for work, since we don't have a whole header at the top as we do with AO3. I would just say it's safe for work, and it is pairing Lanwangji / Weiwokshen. And this is by the incredibly talented Stilton Basket, who posted it while AO3 was down this week. And we appreciate your service, and I'm going to read this delightful gem for us now. Okay, hold on. Lanjiang, Nie Huaizong says one afternoon, while Lanwangji is trying to meditate in the courtyard behind the Yashi. There's something you ought to know before the guest disciples get here. Lanwangji squints at him. What is it? He says flatly. Knowing Nie Huaizong as he does, he guesses that Huaizong intends to relay some piece of gossip. But as telling tales about others is strictly forbidden in the Cloud Recesses, Nie Huaizong ought to know better than to attempt such a thing before the clan's head of discipline. It's about Yunmeng Zheng, Nie Huaizong says. What about Yunmeng Zheng? Lanwangji has had little to do with the cultivators of Yunmeng Zheng. But he doubts that a class of their most talented disciples could cause much trouble at their lectures. Have Zheng Zongzhu's daughter and her Shimei decided not to come? Nie Huaizong waves his hand in dismissal. Oh, nothing so serious as that. It's only, well, have you heard of Weiwokshen? Briefly. He is Zheng Zongzhu's head disciple, is he not? The aforementioned Weiwokshen's instatement as head disciple was an occasion of some note in the Jianghu. Lanwangji remembers. For one thing, Weiwokshen is not a bloodline member of the clan. Though this is not so uncommon amongst the latest generation of head disciples, especially in sects where clan disciples are not the majority. For another, Weiwokshen was apparently disfavored by his Shimu, for from the day Zheng Fengman first brought him to Lotus Pier at the age of 5. And when the news of his appointment reached Lan Lingjin last year, there was a great deal of murmuring about how Yu Zuan had taken it. He is the head disciple, Nie Huaizong says gravely. But that is of no importance here. The trouble is, oh, it's just a word. Don't look like that. Is that Wei Gongzi is a calamitous beauty. And his Shimei men wrote to me asking whether the Cloud Recesses would be willing to assist in his protection during the lectures. He holds out a letter and passes it to Lanwangji. Here, Zheng Zheng explains everything. Much to Lanwangji's regret, the letter's contents are exactly as Nie Huaizong described them. Apparently, Weiwokshen referred to in this letter as Daoshi Zhang, as it had been penned by Zhang Wanyin and his Biaodi Yu Jianhong, is both too handsome for his own good and dangerously charming. And as a result, Zhang Wanyin professes his Xishang leaves a trail of broken hearts wherever he goes. The last time we visited Lan Ling, which we wouldn't have done if we had any choice, but the fact of my sister's betrothal ensures that we had precious little say in the matter. 5 of Jin Zixuan's cousins came to blows at the sight of my Shiga, each insisting that she and no other be engaged to him in the future. Zhang Wenyan writes, one of the girls jilted her intended on the spot, vowing that she no longer wished to see him again as long as Wei Wuxian walked the earth. And her intended tore off the Yao Pei she had gifted him and flung it into the nearest koi pond before declaring that she need not worry about keeping their engagement, for he no longer had any love for her, and now wished to bring our Dashi Zhang into his clan as a bride. Lan Wenji looked up in dismay. What? Read on, Nihui Song advised grimly. It gets worse. Yesterday, he stole a flower from a local bun girl and went to the market with the bloom behind his ear. And later, we received news that the sight of him caused 6 carriage crashes, 9 produce wagons, and 2 riders on horseback to crash when he stopped to cross the street. He returned home after buying all the ruined produce and helping the women who were bruised in the melee without the slightest idea that it only occurred because the driver of the first carriage was blinded by the sunlight reflected upon his hair. And the next morning, Fu Qin received so many petitioners asking for Wei Wuxian's hand in marriage that he hung a sign at the gates to announce that he would entertain no suitors until after Wei Wuxian comes of age. Guan Yin in heaven. Lan Wenji hears himself croak, stunned. How? Niu Huaisong shrugs. If you ask me, it's the hair. Lan Wenji shakes his head and looks back down at the letter in disbelief. Thus, it is my hope that you will inform the second young master Lan about the 2 latest incidents and impress upon him the importance of restraint in the Lan disciples and in all others who will come to study under Lan Laoshi well before we arrive. This passage is written in a more graceful hand, likely Yu Jen Hong's. Our 7th Shimei once fell off the pier and into the lake because Dashi Zhang smiled at her. And no trouble came of it because Ling Shi Shimei is a strong swimmer. But if Lan Laoshi's disciples keep falling down the mountain because Dashi Zhang braided his hair instead of putting it up, someone might truly end up coming to harm. This beggars disbelief, Lan Wenji says doubtfully. Can one man truly? I've seen him, Niu Huaisong replies. And yes, keep reading. And if it would not be too much trouble, Lan Wenji reads aloud, please also consult Lan Ergongzi or Zewa Jun on the subject of Dashi Zhang's safety. Safety. Niu Huaisong winces. Wei Xiang is very lovely to look upon, he offers. And from his dress, it is not always clear that he has the backing of a great sect. Some men do not take well to being told no by a beauty. And by some men, you mean the men of Lan Ling Jin. One never knows where such dangers may come from, Niu Huaisong tells him. But if you ask me, you ought to keep an eye on the genes anyway. Apart from Jin Zixuan, I doubt there's a single man in this year's course who doesn't hate Wei Wuxian for enchanting all the Jin girls. Lan Wenji nods and rises to his feet. I will handle this matter, he says decisively, turning towards the open door to the Lan Xia. you write back to Zhang Ganza and inform him that the cloud recesses will be duly prepared for his Chiga's arrival. The Lan disciples are prepared accordingly over the next week. Lan Wangji orders all the male disciples between 15 and 25 to copy the sect precepts concerning restraint, and ensures that none of the maiden disciples over the age of 12 will have cause to meet Wei Wuxian, save for his own sect sisters. Fortunately for everyone concerned, Wei Gongzi is said to be twice as brilliant as he is beautiful, which means that Shufu is easily persuaded to place him in the advanced lectures reserved for disciples who would be hampered by studies with the rest of their age mates. Lan Wangji is the sole male disciple allowed to attend those lectures. So for much of his time in cloud recesses, Wei Wuxian's only classmates are a pair of married women and Lan Wangji himself. Lan Wangji thinks better of the arrangement 3 weeks later, when he is carried to the infirmary after meeting Wei Wuxian on the mountain path and falling 30 feet into a corpse of trees below. "I'm so sorry, Lan Er Gongzi. I am sorry. Wei Wuxian gasped, gripping Lan Wangji's clutched fists as Zhong Zhong and one of the healers set his broken legs at the other end of the bed. "You can hold on as tight as you like, all right? Xiao Jun is nearly finished." Lan Wangji closes his eyes tightly. "What have I done?" he hears Wei Wuxian mutter to himself. "I'm so clumsy." "I'll look after you until you're better again, second young master. Just say the word and I'll..." "Lan Zhan." Lan Wangji feels his brother's fingers twitch against his knee. "What?" Not Lan Er Gongzi. Lan Wangji wheezes. You can call me Lan Zhan." Wei Wuxian beams at him, with tears brimming at the corner of his eyes. "You're not angry?" "No." His eyes fall shut again, provoking a sound of utter desolation from Wei Wuxian. "Oh, here, I'll take that ribbon off," Wei Wuxian says soothingly, his rough hands stroking Lan Wangji's hot forehead. "Your ears are burning up. You'll feel better as soon as it's gone." At the foot of the bed, Lan Qichen makes a choking sound, but Lan Wangji cannot bring himself to care. Lan Wangji sighs, smiling. "Thank you, young Master Wei." The end. Okay, so the tags here on this Tumblr post are Wang Xian, MDZS, MyFic. Man, all I seem to write these days is Lan Wangji falling in love with Wei Wuxian at first sight. Reader's notes, as it should be. Another tag here. This is a little treat to tide you all over until AO3 comes back online. "Please reblog. I worked so hard. Ha ha. First prompt fill of 2025 and calamitous beauty Wei Wuxian." Okay, reader's notes. I loved this so much. When I saw this on Tumblr on the day that AO3 went dark, just for maintenance, it was just a real joy to see. And this is just such a hard time right now. I'm recording this in February 2025. And so just like these little nuggets of joy are just really, really welcome. And I decided, you know what, maybe I'll make this into an audio format for people, especially if you're not on Tumblr. I think Stilton plans to post it on AO3 later. So I'll see if they want me to wait until it's up on AO3 to post this on AO3. But either way, it's already in your ears if you're listening to this. But yeah, this was just such a delight. I love this little AU. Also, if people aren't familiar with Stilton Baskett's writing, so Eugene Hong is an OC that's like a senior disciple of the Jung sect, who grew up with Jung Chung and Wei Ying, and actually he's also the cousin of Jung Chung as well, a blood cousin. So yeah, this is a delight. So yeah, my heart is so full with this. So I'm actually this is the first thing I'm recording with my new microphone. So this is a little bit of a test run here. My friend Lady N, who's another pod vicar, said that she'd help me with setting up a macro to make editing a little easier. So that hasn't happened yet because, again, this is the first thing I'm recording with it. This is fresh out of the box. So hopefully the next time you hear something on this mic, it'll sound better once I get all of that working again. But, yeah, so testing out the new microphone just to kind of see how it is, with this nice short little nugget. I'm recording again, on the couch, so I can look out the window. We just had a nice little snowstorm. So I'm just looking at all the snow and, reading, one of my favorite authors and, just this nice little, piece of fluff. And, I feel great right now. So that's good. I need that after the week that I had. So, yeah, so I hope that you feel even a fraction of that, right? So, yeah, this is just a lovely little story. I was talking to Stilton Baskett a little bit about this as well, but one of the things that I really love about this story, right, is not just the chaos that Wei Ying is creating, right, and not even really aware of what he's doing. But I love that Lan Zhan like spends all of this time like prepping the lawns and like setting up infrastructure and like trying to make it safe. And basically it's a reasonable accommodation, right, for how beautiful Wei Ying is and the chaos he brings. And, you know, Lan Zhan, the only thing he didn't prepare was himself, right? So he's like, well, oh, we have to make sure other people don't fall, and like, no, he was the first one, immediately just fell off the mountain. That's just really, really funny. And I love that. I mean, it's good that he didn't, you know, have more damage come to him, but that's so good. That's so good. Yeah, it's probably the sort of thing where, you know, this is, if we're talking about, the Untamed verse, right? It's probably, yeah, that scene where the Jiang are standing outside the gate, they've forgotten the invitation, right? And so Wei Ying sees, Lan Zhan and is just like, oh, I'm gonna crank up the charm to try and get them to let us in without the invitation, and just goes too far, right? And he's like, what did I do? Because it was like, it's so beautiful. I love that. Any case, and just being like, oh, let me take off that forehead ribbon for you. And Lan Zhan's like, yeah, you can go ahead and do that. And now we are engaged and we're going to be married. And that's exactly what should be happening here. So very, very happy for that to happen. But yeah, so that's just it's just so cute. I love that. And I love them. So and I love that there's a bunch of Nie Huaisang in this because I love Nie Huaisang. Who's like, maybe not scheming in this particular case, but is just always in the thick of it, and I love that. And Lanzhan, you know what? Like he goes where the chaos is, and the chaos is being created by how beautiful Wei Ying is as a person. So he just can't help it. And I love that. And I love this like idea of just like Zheng Cheng and Yu Jinhong and Cheng Fengmen just all being like fiercely protective of Wei Ying. Like that's just so cute. And Wei Ying just being like, I don't know, just stuff just keeps happening. And he should be allowed to walk around with a flower in his hair if he wants, right? Like that's just that can just, be what he deserves it, right? So, yeah, I'll stop yapping now because it's been over 5 minutes. But yeah, so this was just such a delight. If you enjoyed this story, question mark, I guess try to, I'll link the Tumblr post. So I guess go back and heart it, reblog it. And then if you're listening to this after the original has been posted to AO3, please go back and leave kudos and comments there, right? But yeah, please show Sultan Basket some love for this. This is just such a nice treat on a little snowy Sunday for me, and whenever in whatever weather for you. And yeah, so thank you again to Sultan Basket for having blanket permission to Podfic, and thanks for listening.